Welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and I've got a little bit of a different kind of interview this week, and that is a fellow fan that I met with all my travels, and that's Brian the Caterer. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Hardy. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Like I said, I'm kind of excited. This is going to be different and exciting. See how this goes. So let's kind of start at the beginning. How did you get introduced into professional wrestling? Did you watch it as a younger person? And if so, what was that caught your eye?
Yes, I've been a fan of pro wrestling for as long as I can remember. I grew up in South Florida, so I grew up basically in the territory of the NWA, Georgia Championship Wrestling, Florida Championship Wrestling, WCCW out of Texas. And I grew up in the 70s. I was born in 64, so I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And, early 80s, late 70s, I just came across it on regular TV. You know, we didn't have cable at that time. I came across it on TV, and I had a neighbor who used to watch Lucha Libre wrestling out of Mexico, and I got to see both styles, both American and Mexican wrestling from a very early age. And all of the theatrics is really what drew me to it. It's more of the theatrics and the storylines, and the feuds and how they handled the feuds. That's what drew me in.
Wow. And did you find it yourself, or did somebody introduce it to you?
Oh no, my grandfather watched wrestling. My father watched wrestling. Growing up in South Florida, television channels were limited, so there were only so many things that we could watch. And Saturday mornings, the only thing that would preempt the Saturday morning cartoons would be professional wrestling and roller derby. Mm-hmm. And my dad would sit down with us and sit there and, you know, eat a bowl of Cheerios or what have you, and watch roller derby and then pro wrestling. And then we would go out into the yard, and me and my buddies, my younger brother, and we would wrestle. I mean, it was the epitome of backyard wrestling before there was backyard wrestling.
Right. I think we all did that when we were younger. I remember doing that myself on the trampoline.
My poor sister, my little sister, man, she was the one that we tried the figure four on, and the Boston crabs and the sleeper holds and all of those things, man.
So who were some of your, do you have any favorites from that time of watching that, you know? And I assume that you got introduced to the national brands, the WWF and so on afterwards.
Yes, I absolutely did. Back then, my favorites have always been Dusty Rhodes, Rocky Johnson, which is, of course, The Rock's father. Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas, Mr. USA, you know, me being black and those guys being black back in the 80s. Man, they just Junkyard Dog, those guys right there. They would bring fire of their own. Bobo Brazil, those guys The Sheik, the Iron Sheik. Those were the guys I grew up watching, learning from. The Briscoes, of course, they were there. And then, you know, our version of the Rockers was the Fantastics, or the Fantastic Ones, which was Steve Kern and Eddie Graham. I'm sorry, Mike Graham, Eddie Graham's son. And they didn't, you know, For the territory that they were in down south, they were huge. They never went into the WWE and, you know, got that kind of exposure that that Shawn Michaels did with Marty Jannetty. But those are the groups that I grew up with, and I can't leave out the Fabulous Freebirds, Mike Hayes, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, and Jack Roberts. He was my God, the guy you would just want to grab a hold of and beat the hell out of. But anytime you would think about doing it, he ran right behind Hayes and Gordy, and then you just gave him a pass until the next time. But those are the guys I grew up watching. Those are the guys that molded me and kept me involved with it. And then
Nice.
the list goes on. Von Erichs, and on from there.
Yeah. And so then you so you got a little bit of not as high profile WWE exposure there. Then how did you like find independent wrestling? What
Well, independent wrestling, I've always I followed the Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I've got had issues of those going back years and years and years. And then the dirt sheets, and then when the internet first came on, I just subscribed to wrestling newsletters and would follow along that way. Now that we've got all of these different medias of streaming with Ring of Honor and Ring Warriors out of Las Vegas, which is funded by FSW. Al Snow is running something. MLW. They're available on YouTube, and then just YouTube. All of these different things that you can now watch and keep up with them. But I'm, my catering company, Kayfabe Catering, is always revolves around the kayfabe portion of wrestling, and that's the portion that that I enjoyed the most of it was keeping it, keeping the people ever guessing whether or not it was true. Was it 100% true, 95% true, 85% true? That was the enticement for me. So
Okay.
I hope that kind of answers the question, but
Yeah.
that's what enticed it for me.
Yeah. Okay, so then you had said you were in South Florida, so then what precipitated a move to Colorado where we're at currently?
Oh, well, just life in general. I
Yeah.
grew up in South Florida. I'm originally from New Jersey. I was born in New Jersey, and my parents would travel back and forth from Jersey to Florida and Jersey to Florida.
All right.
And when turned 18, I was in New Jersey. I met a young lady, and changed my world. We ended up getting married at a very early age, and her job transferred us out here to Colorado. She worked for Bell Laboratories, and they transferred her out to Mountain Bell. And that wonderful marriage lasted a year and a half, and she moved back to the East Coast, and I stayed out here. I'm in Colorado, and been out here ever since. That was in 82, 83, perhaps. July of 83 is when I moved to Colorado, and I've just made it my home ever since.
Okay. So then when you got out here to Colorado, did you go looking for independent wrestling to watch, or did you just come across it? What happened there? How'd that come about?
Not necessarily at that point in my life. Cable was huge, so we had everything. We had TBS, so I was able to see WCW, and then we're able to also see WWE. And then depending upon different times throughout the years, ESPN would have some of the shows from the AWA. They also had the WCCW for a little while. And then on the women's side, they had Glow and WOW, and then the what was it the WLLP that was out there. So just through cable and just by after the internet came out, that was me. I don't do video games. If I'm going to look at stuff on there, I look up some old wrestling stuff, and I tend to watch older things. I'm back in the 70s and 60s, looking at psychology of it versus what's on today. So I didn't really search it out as far as searching out independent wrestling, but I always kept abreast of wrestling that was going on. ECW was always on the fringes, and that was, ECW before it became as big as it became, was what we would call today's smart marks. We were involved in that because a lot of the info would leak out, and as we know now, Paul Heyman leaked it out on purpose. He would leak out the information of what was going down and the backstories behind Sandman and Beulah McGillicuddy and it just make you get more involved into it, more invested into it. So I didn't really search it out per se, but I always seemed to find out where it was at. And then I remember in the early 80s through the early 90s, maybe we had the AWA came through Denver regularly. They would go over to the Denver Auditorium Arena, which was at 14th and Curtis. It's no longer there. It used to be across from the Saks Fifth Avenue, which is no longer there. But there you could get in for, I don't know, maybe $4 or $5 for a ticket. But I would always hang out and mooch and ask if I could clean up behind the wrestlers, carry their bags in, bring their clothes to them, escort them back out to the car, keep the people off of them, whatever it would take, just so I could get in for free. Even though it was only a $3, $4, $5 ticket, get in for free is much better. And then I'd spend the money on a hot dog and a beer, even though I was probably underage and shouldn't be drinking the beer, but nobody really carded you there. That was a lot of the AWA guys that would come through, Vern Gagne's guys and Jim Brunzell and, the Crusher and those guys, Baron von Raschke. Those were all in the 80s, and that was right here in Denver. So for $5, you can get in, or you could mooch your way in like I've been mooching for years and still mooch now to get a Rocky Mountain Pro.
Okay. So then how did you get introduced into well, in this case we're going to kind of probably put the microscope a little bit on Rocky Mountain Pro. How did you find them?
Well, basically by happenstance, I really didn't know about Rocky Mountain Pro until they moved over into the new facility that they're in now at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, which we call the Quarry. And on their inaugural weekend, moving into there was the marquee that can be seen from Sixth Avenue, the highway, when you're driving on it. And I was driving down, coming out of the mountains from Evergreen. And I saw that professional wrestling was here in Denver, and it was taking place over the weekend. So I jotted down the information and looked them up online, and I bought a ticket. Actually, I bought two tickets. I bought a ticket for me, and I bought a ticket for my son. And Steven and myself, we showed up at the event. Prior to the event, I went out that morning because I like to mooch things. And I wanted to see if there was any merch that was available, and I wanted to see, what kind of production they were putting on. And Matt was very forthcoming. He let me come back there and take a look at the things. And just again, because I'm, always looking to get into things, Vince Russo was there on site, and I had met Vince back in 2014 in Alabama, I believe it was, at a show that he was doing there for Impact Wrestling. So, surprisingly, he remembered me from 2014, 2 years later at 2016. So when Matt saw that Vince and I knew one another, he was very open and allowed me to talk to the guys, talk to the girls, talk about merch, purchase some merch, and then come back to the show. After coming back to the first show, seeing the show they put on was great, and then seeing that it was put on by students, I realized that they had a need. I was a student at one point, And I know that students, not only students, but people that are wrestlers that want to get into their trade, you know, you talk about stories of eating tuna fish out of a can and surviving off of raw potatoes because nobody would give you enough, you know, electricity to boil water to cook it. So I enjoy cooking, and I saw a need to feed these young bodies that were in the ring, giving their bodies to their fans. And at this point, I think the first show that I went to, there was maybe 150, 180 fans in the audience, and that was great. But these kids are giving their bodies for it, and I just felt a need to see how I could give back, and it was by feeding them. So we traded off catering for access into it, and it's been a great relationship ever since. I enjoy taking care of the young talent that's growing up through there, and I'm a mark from way, way, way back. So I really enjoy when we bring in guests like, you know, Robbie E and Nick Dinsmore, Al Snow, those guys that came through, Nick Aldis. I've gotten to meet many of my my I'd say childhood, because I'm only 54, but I'll just say my fans or my idols, as it turns out, through doing it. So I enjoy doing it, and it was just by happenstance. I was driving by the marquee at the right time, and Matt welcomed me in.
Yeah. So they did not at the time have any kind of in the movie business they or television business they call it craft services. They didn't have anything like that set up for them, or was it minimal or
Not at all. These
nothing?
poor guys were eating whatever they could eat when they were getting in. But you got to understand that the mindset of an independent wrestler is, let's get the job done. So if they came into the arena and started their workouts that morning, they may have brought something for them to eat that morning. Not saying that they didn't, but not sure what that calorie count or that nutrition count could have or should have been. But they're more focused on working and doing what needs to be done. And a lot of times they'll work through lunch because they're trying to figure out how to do a correct arm drag or a nip up or take a backdrop without breaking their spine. And that's more important at that time than fueling the body. Now they're practicing and they're working through their runs. It's time to get ready to go into the show. Do they really have time to go off-site to go get something to eat? They're not going to go to the stands up front and have a greasy hot dog and a bag of chips. So they needed something that would be substantial for them to eat and be easy for them to eat. So that's the niche that I filled. And I believe, you know, to this day, that anyone that's working in any kind of a professional sports entertainment type field needs to not only take care of their mind, but they need to take care of their body by fueling it correctly and working out correctly. But sometimes the demands are so tight on them that something gets pushed off to the wayside. I just saw a way to make sure that it wasn't nutrition, at least on the nights that they were doing their tapings.
Gotcha. Yeah, so basically, with their mind being preoccupied by something else, you gave them that, hey, this is easy, just trust me, just I'm gonna take care of you.
Show up and eat.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So then what has been the reception for you to providing this? And also, have you gotten any memorable moments doing this, as well as have you learned anything doing this? Because I know you said this is like your hobby, your passion. I mean, have you gotten feedback saying, suggestions on food, things like that, and all the whole story? I mean, anything, like I said, did you learn doing this?
Yeah, I totally have. I'm a omnivore. I will eat anything. But I found that there are people that are vegetarians or vegans. So when I am not strict enough in my discipline or in my household to produce vegan food, But whenever I cater, I always provide at least two vegetarian dishes, and of course the a meat, one or two different meat dishes that are going out there. So that's one thing that I've learned, is that you need to be flexible to other people's needs and wants. I'm a big barbecue guy. Not everybody is. So that was one thing. And then as far as my reception, man, it's been nothing but love. Absolutely nothing but love. Regardless of what I've brought in, there's items that I've brought in that I know rice, it's a little undercooked. And the guy's like, no, it's great. I'm like, no, it's a little bit less than al dente, but they're always fabulous and they eat all my food. One little thing, it's just my own little game that I play, is how much meat can I bring and still not take any home? And so far, the record is 42 pounds of meat. And that was probably about a year and a half ago. I took in brisket and pulled pork and totaled 42 pounds. And I still did not bring anything back home except for salad and I think some potato salad, kale salad that I always bring, and then potato salad. My guys and girls do not let me take any meat back home. That they will kill some proteins, especially Bruce Wayans. I'm gonna throw that out there right now. He one meatball eating some bitch.
That's funny. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. So shout out to you, Bruce.
All right. So now you have, at least if, as my knowledge, had at least one time that you was you doing all this, you've actually been able to get at least one segment in actually on the program. Tell us about that. Right? Has there
Well,
been more?
yeah, there's been a
Okay.
couple. There've been a couple in the past, but only one where I had, shall we say, a speaking role, a speaking part,
Okay.
and that was with J.K. Pop, and I love those guys, man. Johnny and Tom, those are two kicking guys. But this one was with Jumbo, and I was closing down catering. We had just finished a great service, and Jumbo came through looking for food.
Because Jumbo's hungry.
Jumbo was very hungry, and I told Jumbo, "There's no food, man. We're all done. We need to rock this down, close it out." He grabbed me and ripped open my shirt and ripped open my jacket, my chef's jacket, to expose the JK Pop shirt underneath, and solidifying that I'm part of you, man. I'm down with JK Pop. I just don't have your food. So he let me go, and then Tom and Johnny took me over to look at their merch table. So while those guys are distracting me and I'm looking at things to buy, Jumbo over my shoulder is pillaging through the remains. And at one point, I look over to him, and he found a half-empty bottle of ranch dressing, and he decided that that was something that he could ingest. And I look over my shoulder, and he's squirting ranch dressing down his throat. And I asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Jumbo hungry." I said, "Okay, yeah, just hold on to it because we don't need it back." So that was a great time. That was a wonderful time being with a role, with a roll-on part there. Speaking role, if you will. But there have been a couple others, if you look back in the past, where there was one issue where Vince was being chased around, and he didn't know who was trying to take him out. And Phil was trying to protect him. And there was an instance when I was backstage, and again, I was working on catering. And they just ran through, and I think Filter ended up taking Hoodie and choke slamming him through one of the tables back there. So I was off to the side, no speaking roles, no words needed from me. But that was another fun time to be on film, if you will.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and now with the Jumbo thing, that's now part of his character. He's coming out with salad dressing every time he possibly can.
I'm gonna have to make up a kayfabe catering label for him and put that on him, see if I can get some recognition for it.
Right. Awesome. So you just recently went to the Impact Wrestling tapings that happened about 2 weeks ago or so. Tell
I did.
the listeners how that went.
Oh, that was a great trip. That was a fun time, and right now I'll go ahead and throw a shout out to Terry Nielsen. Terry Nielsen is affectionately known by the locals at Sam's Town as the sign lady, and she hooked me up with signs to produce for the guys as they were coming out. She had stacks of them, and she would pass them out to anyone was up in the first two or three rows at ringside. So shout out to Terry. Appreciate meeting her, and that was grand. But other than that, the shows were absolutely spectacular. Was there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all three nights, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. The 15th was a very, very loud live crowd. 16th, the Saturday was not as much, but Sunday, even though it was the same Sunday that the Elimination Chamber was taking place, which they had a viewing room there at Sam's Town, we had a full house at Impact Wrestling tapings, and it was a great show. It was a wonderful, wonderful show, and those new guys that are running it, Ed Norheim, and I apologize for mispronouncing his name, but I know Cyrus the Virus is running with him, and Scott D'Amore. Those guys are really producing a very good product, and they're working hard at changing the perception that people had for TNA wrestling, and bringing it back to Impact Wrestling, taking it away from the NWA, but bringing it back to Impact. Great shows all three nights, great shows.
Yeah. And now, I mean, yeah, I understand what you mean that, people keep on harping on them that, that it's whatever it is. Of course, any kind of business has its ups and downs, but they're still around. They're still on TV and everything. I mean, would you agree that, their passion isn't dying out?
Oh, absolutely not. The passion's always been there. It's just getting the right people, the right dollars behind that passion. Passion only takes you so far. Passion is a dream that can only be achieved if you've got enough people behind you to supply the fuel for that dream. And in this case, that fuel is cash. It's having the money on hand to pay for the advertising, the TV time, the talent, the transportation, the well-being for them. It's not just a wellness program, but what does that wellness program entail, and how can that company sustain it? So the WWE has gotten very good at that. They have their own doctors, they have their own trainers, they have their own facility. They're in their own little bubble. All of the other companies, independents or not, are outside of that bubble. Now, I'm not privy to what their wellness or insurance policy is with TNA, but I know that they allow their talent to work outside of their purvey. So I'm assuming that they're all 1099 independent contractors, which means they take care of their own health insurance, and that becomes an issue. So are they the company that won't go away because of desire and because of dreams? Yes. But are they the company that if they're not supported correctly, they will go away? That's also a yes. And that's why we've seen transitions from the Carter family and from Turner from way back, back to where it's at now. with this contingency out of Canada. But we've got a great insurgence of others like the AEWs. And believe it or not, the AEW and the strong presence that ROW has in the independents is really fueling the success that Impact is feeling now, because they're sharing a lot of that talent. They're doing a lot of what used to happen back in the territory days that people just didn't know happened because they didn't have the internet. They didn't have access to that information. But that's how the WWE got as big as it's gotten, is by territory sharing talent until they became one conglomerate. Now, there's at some point where AEW and ROW and these others are going to become so great that they may become a challenge for the WWE, which means that only gives opportunity to other independents to rise up and get into that same growth spurt, if you will.
Yes, I totally agree. Everything you just said, I agree with that. I am so impressed that somebody else kind of sees the same things as I do. Now, let me ask you, do you besides watching the local promotion here in Rocky Mountain Pro, and I assume that you watch WWE and some of the other shows, RO, Ring of Honor, and maybe even like I said, Impact. Do you watch any other shows like the Women of Wrestling and things of that nature?
Oh my God. So, yes, the short answer to that is yes. And you have to understand, earlier on you asked me what really brought me into wrestling. And if I really run it down to the nitty-gritty, I remember when I was like in second, third, fourth grade coming home, and we only had one television, and it was black and white at the time. And it was ruled by our parents. And until about 4 o'clock, when like Hopalong Cassidy would come on or something like that, Big Valley, I was resigned to watching One Life to Live, General Hospital, and All My Children. Now, those are my mother's soaps. But if you can take the storyline for them soap operas and turn that into wrestling, that's what really turned me on. Was the storylines. So, yes, the short answer is yes. I watch a lot of other wrestling, and I love GLOW. I love the original GLOW that was on the on TV way back when on ESPN. And I used to watch that when it was live, but I also like the new GLOW series that's on Netflix. Wow, wrestling. I don't know. Most people have Comcast here in town, and I believe it's on Access TV, same channel that you have New Japan, and we have WOW Wrestling that is run by Tessa Blanchard. She's the champion now. And also, if you watch Access, Tessa Blanchard also hosts a rock and roll music show that's on that channel there. So. Yes, always been involved with it. Ladies Pro Wrestling's back in the late 80s, where you had Terry Powers, Nicole Bass, Leilani Kai, of course, the Fabulous Moolah. Most people only know the Fabulous Moolah or Mae Young through the late 80s when they were doing their skits with the WWF at the time. With Sexual Chocolate, Mark Henry, and so forth. But those ladies, man, they were dynamite on the mat back in the 70s, back in the 80s, when I'm watching a match with Bobo Brazil against the Sheik, and it's got to be followed up by Moolah and the Island Girl. Man, they're not bringing out two girls. Like the disco would say, like Glenn Gilbert, just girls in bikinis. No, these girls are going to come out and bring out some blood. And That's what I grew up watching. So the version of the ladies that we've got today, completely different version of what I grew up with. But do I support the women? Absolutely. From the ones that want to come out and do the gimmick wrestling to the ones that come out and do the catch as catch can and really work on their craft and really work on working the crowd.
All right. Well, so another question I was going to ask, because I was leading up to what I just asked you, was that with, for example, Impact Wrestling, Tessa Blanchard is on Impact Wrestling, but she's also on WOW, as well as like Delia Doom. Do you find it interesting that they're like on these all these different promotions and they're all airing at the same time and it's kind of different storylines? I mean, what's your opinion of that?
You know, the only thing that I find interesting about that, I go back to, like I said, kayfabe catering. I enjoyed when it was kayfabe. These same practices took place 20, 30 years ago. It's just that there was no internet to let you know that Tessa's going to show up in Alabama and do the same job that she's going to do in Texas, and then 2 nights later, she's going to show up in Oklahoma and do it. We didn't know that she was doing that in those 3 different nights, although she was. Today, we just know that. Does it make a difference? It blows my mind when I go from Rocky Mountain Pro with one of the gals up here being a heel and go down to Colorado Springs Wrestling and she's a face. And that's only 90 miles away. So does it throw me off that they're throwing the same person in different roles on different shows at the same time? No, not really. I try to separate myself as much as I can and go back to the storyline. There's a couple of movies that I've seen lately that have had this gentleman, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I think his first name was Cooper. Cooper Anderson, maybe? No, he's the guy on the movie. But whoever this gentleman is, he's been in like 4 different movies that I've seen in the last 3 weeks. He's the same actor, but he's not playing the same roles. Why would I think that he's going to act the same way in movie number two as he did in movie number one? I'm able to separate that, not because, I'm a smart mark, if you will. It's because I want to separate that. I want to know that they're not the same person, even though they're doing this the same role. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I just also, I just was wondering, does it like interest you? It's like, hey, this person's going to be on two different shows the same week. I mean, does that make you more apt to tune into those shows?
It doesn't make me more apt to tune into the shows, but it will make me look at them and critique them better to see, one, if they're a better face or a better heel,
Okay.
what they do to antagonize their audience versus what do they do to embrace their audience. Are they better at doing one than the other? Tessa Blanchard should never. I shouldn't say never, but at this point in her career, she shouldn't even think about being a face.
Yeah.
The way that she cleans her feet off before she comes in or out of the ring, kicks them back onto the person she's walking away from. There's no question. She shouldn't be a face on whatever show I watch. But if she were a face on that show, what's the context behind it? Why is she a face? Why are people behind her? I've always been the guy that's been more drawn to the heels than the faces anyway. So I guess, some people could say the same to me. Why did you always want to see Legion of Doom take off somebody's head? Why did you want to see him kill the fabulous ones instead of, the killer bees coming up on top? Well, because they're always smiling. They're always happy. Give them something to cry about. An animal will do it for you. So that's my take on it. I always liked the, like I said, being a heel, male or female. And no, it doesn't bother me that they switch their roles one way to the other.
I gotcha. Now, one quick just little follow-up question. It could be a one answer to the question. There's one thing that I think Tessa Blanchard does, though, do one face little thing, and that's on her entrance when she does the little twisty with the little look behind wink. That's kind of a face thing.
Well,
It's kind of hard for me to heal through.
no, that's not a face thing. That's not a face thing at all. EC3, Ethan Carter used to do that. He'd come out and he'd look over his shoulder. They're not giving you the respect to face you face to face, eye to eye. They're just going to look over their shoulder, flip their hair, and say, "I'm here." That's what I see when she flips that wig and looks over her shoulder at the camera and gives that wink. It's like, this is what I can do. This is what I bring. You can't bring anything close to it. So here I am.
I gotcha. Okay, I just was kind of curious what you thought on that.
You might look into it something differently, but that's the way I look at it.
I gotcha. All right. All right. Well, let's get back into your trip to Impact Wrestling. Did you have any besides the sign lady, any other kind of cool memorable moments? Get to hang out with any of the wrestlers that were doing the tryouts or anything like that?
Not necessarily doing the tryouts, but I did purchase the VIP package, and I did purchase this. It wasn't a free gratis thing. We got to have trivia one morning with wrestlers, Ashley, and I'm going to say Edwards. It's Eddie Edwards' wife. She was there on the team next to us, and she was great. She knew all the inside dirt, so of course she won. But she was a great person to spend time with, and Tessa Blanchard. Speaking of her earlier, I spent in, I don't know, maybe 5, 10 minutes or so speaking with her. Beautiful young lady, smart, of course, third generation. You know, behind her grandfather and behind her dad Tully. Great ring savvy. Got to meet LA, the guys from LAX and Penta. As well as Phoenix, and we were on a bowling league one morning, and got to have Daga as our bowler. As you know, I just had my hip replaced, so I was kind of tenuous at this at most, but did great. We had a great time, had a wonderful time out there with the guys, meeting them there, and then as far as at the ring type information, Sammy Callahan and what is this group called? OVE. Those guys do not break character. They don't kayfabe. And I think all 3 nights those guys were there, they had the best matches. They had a couple of there was one gimmick match against these the our gang kids, you know, I don't remember the name of the group. It's three kids that are you know, do the high sign and yuck yuck type matches. And even though it was a yuck yuck match with one of the Chris brothers, one of the best matches of the night. So props to OVW and the Sammy Callahan. And then of course Kevin Cross. There's no getting away from Kevin. Kevin is money on the mic, and he's getting better and better in the ring every time I see him.
Very cool. So, how good of a bowler is Daga?
First game that we did, he won both rounds, by the by. The first round that we did, he got 97, and on 97. He didn't even crack 100, and he still whooped their butts. And on the second round, I believe he got 100 and 105 or 107 on the second round. But he beat us both times. And in mine was Terry, the sign lady, a gentleman by the name of Joe, who I met there, myself, and then Daga.
Very, very cool. All right. Should we definitely tune in to Impact these next few weeks to see all these recordings? Were there, are they going to be worth watching?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to give out any
No spoilers, yeah. Not too big spoilers, yeah.
on, but Jordan and Taya Valkyrie feud that's going on, that feud's going to go on for a minute. That at least it should. I'm booking the territory here,
Okay.
and those girls ought to go on for a nice long campaign, because they've got similar style, they got similar strengths, but they've got different styles. And man, that can attribute to a lot. So I hope to see a lot going down with those two on the women's side. On the men's side, I just want to see Kevin Cross continue to grow. The mic work is phenomenal. His in-ring work, who am I to critique anything, but I want to just see him grow.
Cool. All right. Well, Brian, I'm kind of really out of all any kind of other questions. Anything else you want to talk about, maybe? Mention?
No, not necessarily, but I tell you what, I'm going back out to Vegas in May. I'm going to say AEW,
Okay.
and I'll go ahead and take some more specific notes, knowing that you and I might get together and talk again. So maybe we can look at hooking back up early June, middle of June, and talk about what happened out at AEW's event at Madison at MGM in Las Vegas.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. All right. Well, Brian, I thank you for coming on to the podcast this week. Appreciate your time, and of course, I'll see you in person in the near future here.
Absolutely, man. It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, you're welcome. Once again, a big thank you to Brian for coming on to the podcast this week. Talking wrestling, Rocky Mountain Pro, catering, food, and all the great exciting things that we've gotten to do and witness as fans. Like I said, was something that was going to be a little bit different. Anyways, so let's do the weekend review. And unfortunately, the only thing that I really have to talk about when it comes to the weekend review was just one event. It was a big event. It was a kind of a super event, and that was Rocky Mountain Pro's Supercharged 2 that happened last Thursday at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in historic Golden, Colorado. It was a great night. We had some new champions crowned, and that was the tag team champions of the Triumphant. Stole those away from Curtis Cole and Matt Yaden. The most funnest tag team in the world. They vow to get their belts back and to be avenged. But we also had Anaya winning the Rocky Mountain Pro Championship for the first time ever. So it was exciting. If you guys didn't catch it or were not there in person, go ahead and check it out on their Twitch stream, their Twitch channel, and subscribe and see that how it all happened. So the Primos event that I talked about with last episode with Captain Stevens unfortunately had to be postponed because of poor weather in the Colorado area. It was actually good weather during the day on last Sunday. However, once the afternoon hit and the evening hit, it started to develop more snow showers and all that stuff like that, and it just was not worth the risk asking the fans, asking the wrestlers and everybody to get out in the weather and attend the show. So they postponed it for this Sunday, the Primos Pro Wrestling A Woman's Scorn event. If you want to get tickets, I believe you still can get tickets at primosprowrestling.com. They're $5 cheaper online than at the door. Well, also this week we have coming up that is Rocky Mountain Pros Ignition and Charged tapings from the historic Golden, Colorado area, Jefferson County Fairgrounds. You want to get tickets, go to rmpwrestling.com. It's as simple as that. I got my monthly pass. What about you? And then on Friday, we have Colorado Springs Wrestling Bar Fights Volume 3. Yes, count them, 3. Can you believe it? They're already at 3 Colorado Springs. That's just amazing. It just seems like it was just yesterday when Colorado Springs Wrestling started up, and we have some great matches like we talked about with Captain Stevens. He's going to be competing against the Human Grenade, Joey Kincaid. And then we also have Military Muscle of Big Guns and Jimbo Lucas teaming up against their students at the Empower Wrestling School. And let's listen to Jimbo Lucas talk about that.
What's up, Colorado Springs? Jimbo Lucas here, reminding you that Friday night at the playing field, I'm tagging up with Big Guns Justin Andrews as Military Muscle, finally here in Colorado Springs, to take on four of the area's brightest up-and-coming stars. Don't miss it. The playing field, 7 o'clock. Be there.
So there you have it from Jimbo Lucas telling you to be there on Friday in Colorado Springs for Colorado Springs Wrestling as they present Bar Fights Volume 3. I'm going to be there. Who's coming with me? And then on Saturday, Rocky Mountain Pro is holding a very special wrestling event. And in my opinion, this is kind of amazing. This is going to be at the Pepsi Center, and I would suspect that some of you may have heard, if you're fans of basketball or hockey, you may have heard of the Pepsi Center because that's also the home of the Denver Nuggets, Colorado Avalanche, and in this case, the Colorado Mammoth, the indoor lacrosse team. The Rocky Mountain Pro is holding wrestling after the Colorado Mammoth game, and this is in conjunction with their work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation for Wish Warrior Chad Isaacs. So you can purchase tickets through the special link. If you need that link, go to Rocky Mountain Pro's Facebook page, scroll down a few posts, and you should be able to find the link there. There's a special meet and greet section during the game that you can talk with the wrestling talents. And hey, if you want to talk to with me, I'm going to be there, even though I'm not necessarily a Rocky Mountain Pro talent. I'm just talented, if I can pat myself on the back there just a little bit. But anyways, that is it that I have. But before I go, let me thank the Trending Topics Network for hosting my show. And if you guys enjoy the Wrestling with Altitude podcast, the Trending Topics Network also has some other great shows that can be found on here. So stay subscribed or go ahead and subscribe, and you can also listen to other great shows such as Wrestling Cheers, the Spanish Announce Table, the Eurovision Showcase, and Chill. Yeah, that's the name of a podcast. It's And Chill. Yeah, I know it's kind of weird. But anyways, thank you all for listening, and I hope you're having fun wrestling with Altitude. Thank you.